What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Next Gen Whitetails Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Harrison Vaughn, and on today's episode, we have a very special one for you. So what we're going to be doing today is breaking down the four food plots that I have been working on this past summer. They're brand new food plots, all of them, on two different properties. And throughout the episode, it's just going to be me today kind of breaking down and going over the strategies, the thoughts behind, and the practices that have been put into creating these four brand new food plots on both of these properties that I hunt. So stick with us. Stay tuned. We got a good one for you today. All right, everybody. So on today's episode, the name of the game is going to be food plots. Putting in food plots, preparing for food plots, creating food plots, all of the different methods that I used this past year in creating the four brand new food plots that I have on the two different properties that I am fortunate enough to hunt. So I'm going to go ahead and give you a little breakdown of the names of the food plots and where they're located in relation to the different properties before we start talking about some of the strategies and the thoughts behind each one. So the first plot that we're going to break down is on a smaller 37-acre piece, and there are two plots on that property. One is a quarter of an acre. One is an eighth of an acre. So two relatively small food plots. The first one is called the Ridge Plot, and the Ridge Plot is situated on a little finger ridge, really great sunlight. That one's about a quarter of an acre. And it's really great sunlight, good soil, and it's actually sitting surrounded by oaks on the front and the back of the food plot. So on the north and the south side of the food plot, there are oak stands, and then on both sides, it's a pretty, not super steep, but it's a fairly steep sloping hill down to both sides into really, really good bedding cover. And that is where we typically see deer come from in both of these spots. The second spot is an eighth of an acre, and it's called the South Plot. The South Plot's a smaller one. It's a little bit more forested, but once again, it is situated between bedding areas on another section of the property. And that specific plot is really just been used as a primary travel corridor for the deer. We've always seen deer moving through that area very consistently before we even did any land work on it to kind of clear it up for a food plot. But it was very heavily trafficked by the deer right next to a very, very active bedding area. We tend to see a lot of activity during the rut in this one little corridor where the bucks are cruising, going to check these bedding areas to the south side of this ridge. So it's served as kind of a highway for deer. And hopefully with the work we're putting in there, putting the food plot in, it's going to be very, very productive come fall. And the second property, again, two food plots put in on completely opposite sides. The front one, the first food plot, is the top plot. We call it the top plot because of it's on the top of the property. It's at the highest point of the property. It is a quarter of an acre as well, a little bit more than a quarter of an acre. But again, very highly traveled area by deer. It's got bedding area on three separate sides of it. So it's a great plot, a lot of great deer activity for years and years just with the movement of the deer. We see a lot of deer in this area. It's a little bit difficult to hunt just because of the wind. If the wind isn't perfect, you're either going to be blowing out a bedding area or you're going to be blowing out the plot. So there's only one wind you can hunt it on, and it's on a northwest wind. If it's not a northwest wind, you really can't hunt it, and we have to stay out of that specific area of the property. But again, a little over a quarter of an acre, brand spanking new, never had a food plot in there before, but great travel area for deer. The last food plot and the second food plot we're putting in on this specific property is called the bottom plot. So in the bottom, it is about a acre and a half field that's been in there. It used to be planted in soybeans about 10 years ago. Other than that, it's just kind of sat and fallow, but it's in a creek bottom. It's the lowest spot of the property, has really, really great soil right next to a creek, really great travel for deer, and it's essentially shaped kind of like the letter P, shaped like the letter P. So if you can imagine the letter P, the long part of the P, that is what we have used predominantly for other food plots in the past. So we've done turnips in there. We've done different types of brassicas, clovers, anything you can think of. We've even done forage beans in that specific area. But one thing we haven't done is put in a food plot on the back top side where it loops around. So it's essentially, like I said, the letter P. It's a circle at the top that goes around to the side and then one long straight area. The long straight area is where we've planted in the past, but then that back part, the top, the circular area, has never been planted before. And that's another area that we have decided to put in a plot this year. So the main part of the plot this past spring was planted in clovers, and we actually did a test run of some different types of daikon radish and purple top turnip. And the deer have really hammered it. So we're deciding we're going to put in that back part that's never been planted in the bottom plot, we're going to put in a mix of purple top turnip, vivant turnip, and a mix of cereal grains for a fall hunt plot. We're just going to leave the what was planted in the spring standing, let the deer eat on it as much as they want. By now, the turnips have gotten to a point where the deer really aren't touching them as much because the green has been eaten away and the tops are not producing the sugar we want in the middle of the summer. So we're going to plant the hunt plot in that back corner. It's about a half an acre in size, but those are the four plots that we worked on this year. So the kind of the point of today is to go over some of my strategies that I used without access to heavy equipment. Other than an ATV, in order to get these plots from old fallow fields covered in small trees, brush, different types of briars, blackberry, and then a number of native forbs and grasses into a clean and open food plot that is going to be planted at the end of August. So the first one, the top plot or the ridge plot that I'd talked about on the one property, it was a just an open, slightly open area filled with a lot of briars and thicket. And in January, when I decided I was going to undertake this process of putting in these plots, I went in there with a handheld brush cutter. So basically a weed eater with a blade on the bottom. And I hand cleared this quarter acre plot and got rid of all the brush. Now that I really only got rid of the small trees and the briars. And after clearing it out, it was fairly open, but nothing crazy. So what I did after clearing this area with the brush cutter is I waited until green up started. And as soon as March, April rolled around and stuff started to green up, I did a first spraying of glyphosate. Glyphosate weed killer, it did a great job. It killed off the initial at the start when it first started to green up. And then I did periodic sprayings throughout May and July just to make sure. After doing this, it was time to disc, but we're going to get into that later after we talk about kind of the clearing for all the plots. So that was the clearing method for the ridge plot was handheld brush cutter, a lot of sweat, but it worked. Got it cleared out of all the brush and the plants that were growing in there. And then in the south plot on that same property, there was less brush to deal with, but a lot of native grasses and forbs that were growing in this small clear area where the deer were traveling through. And the big method down there was utilizing a chainsaw to cut selective trees in order to clear up the canopy a little bit. And there are some more trees that I would like to take out eventually, but they're much bigger, much older trees. What we did this year was I cleared out some of the smaller trees just to open up the plot a little bit better and kind of give some more space for shooting lanes with the bow and give just that little bit of extra sunlight that I knew that those plants that we're planting down there would need. And then after that, spray with glyphosate three different times in April, in June, and then again in July, and then disc, which we'll again get into that here in a little bit. But on both of these plots that are situated on this one 37-acre property, they were both put in areas where we had consistent deer movement. We knew the deer were in there. It's not like we were going in there with these small plots and just kind of hoping something would show up. We used them because we knew the deer would come into this areas, and it was just kind of convenient that they were able to be cleared by us by hand in a way that we didn't need the big heavy equipment and all that stuff to get in there. Because one key thing to remember when you're talking about these small kind of kill plot style food plots is that they're not destination plots. You're not going to draw deer from miles around just to come and eat for hours in these small food plots. These small half acre and under, even up to an acre, and I would say an acre and undersized plots, you're going to struggle to just draw deer blindly from all over the place to get them to come in. Now you will, and you'll get them to draw in, and they can even pattern around these small food plots, but they're not going to be in there for hours at a time eating. They're going to be 30 minutes to maybe an hour in there eating at a time, snacking around, walking, and then they're going to get out of there and they're going to head to a larger destination food source. Now, when you get into these colder months, they'll eat those to the ground because it might be the only green food available in the area. That's one thing we're expecting to see on both of these plots, the ridge plot and the south plot on this particular property, there because there's no ag field nearby and there's a big lack of available green food source as we get into late November and early December. So we're expecting these small plots to get hammered pretty hard as we get into the colder months of the year. Now, as far as the planning strategy goes, one of the plots we're planning a brassica mix with cereal grains, predominantly cereal grains with some Vivant and Purple Top turnip mixed in on top. And then in the ridge plot, it's going to be predominantly Purple Top turnip, Vivant turnip, and sugar beet with a cereal grain mix spread over top. So again, both of these plots are going to be very functional for both bow hunting and late season hunting, but we're anticipating the ridge plot to be a better late season primary food source, especially with the fact that the brassicas are the primary blend put in there. Now, on the second property that we're talking about that has the top plot and the bottom plot in it, those were much easier to clear because both of these fields that were in there were only native grasses. So one of them was a native grass field with just some some mix of grass and forbs. Wasn't any clearing necessary. Two sprayings of glyphosate did the trick and cleared it up, killed all the brush that was existing in there. No clearing needed otherwise. And then in the top plot on this particular property, it was primarily fescue grass that had not been dissed under in the life of the particular owner that owns the property. He had never dissed this specific plot. So two sprayings of glyphosate on the fescue grass killed it. Perfect. Did a great job. Next, what I'd like to talk about, now that we've established how these plots got cleared and prepped for planting, is what I think is probably the most important aspect of any new food plot or periodically being done on even existing food plots, and that is a soil test. So all four of these plots received soil tests and let me know the amount of lime that was needed and let me know the amount of fertilizer that was needed for each plot. That's really going to help me with not having to overpay for the amount of lime that I might need on the particular plots and the amount of fertilizer that I'm going to use on these plots. So all of them needed lime. They all needed fertilizer. On the two smaller plots, the sub half acre plots, we ended up using just granular lime, crushed pulverized, not pulverized lime, but granular lime. Spread it with a hand spreader, got the job done, spread as much as we needed from our soil tests. Got the job done on top, dissed it in on the two larger plots, at the one property, the top plot and the bottom plot, because those are our larger areas. We decided to use a new blend called Plot Start, and it's a liquid lime substitute. So it's not liquid lime. It lasts in the soil for multiple years, but it allows that calcium to it allows the plants to use that calcium that's in the Plot Start to pull the nutrients they need and actually use them. So it does the exact same thing as lime, but it's just much more manageable to get in there and use a backpack sprayer on than having to get 500 to 2,000 pounds of lime out there in these backwoods areas. So again, that's a super important thing. If you're going to put in a new food plot or you're using a plot that you have not limed in several years, it's very important to get a food plot done. It's going to save you money and it's definitely going to make your plants grow better. So after the spraying was done, after the soil test was done, after the liming was done, we got a disc. We got to somehow turn that soil over, get those the nutrients that we have, the lime, into the ground and prepare that seed bed for planting. And this was actually done 2 weeks ago after some issues we ran into with different discs that can be used with the ATV. We ended up settling on just a standard pull behind sleeve hitch style disc that we fabricated to custom fit our ATV, and it worked spectacularly. Put 160 pounds of weight, or 120 pounds, I'm sorry, of weight on top of this pull behind disc. It did fantastic. It turned the soil over, it mixed the lime in, it did the job that we needed it to do. Now, without using a cultipacker or a lawn roller, we went in and I disced it 2 weeks ago. Went back last week before leaving on vacation and checked to make sure we didn't have any new growth. We had some sporadic new growth, did one more spot spraying of glyphosate. And at this point, we are just waiting to fertilize next week and then plant in 2.5 weeks in the last week of August. Now, some people might think that that might be a little bit too early, and it can be sometimes. The reason I am going to plant at the last week of August is because it's looking like the weather should be in our favor, should get some rain. If we don't get rain, it will be pushed back until we can get a nice stand of rain. But with temperatures starting to decline in the forecast at the end of August, that's going to give us a full 45 days before our average first frost in our area. We want to do that because we want these plants to have sufficient time to reach maturity before the first frost. Because they're smaller plots, we want these plants to be green, growing, and lush by the time that first frost stops their growth cycle, and we're going to have as much food as possible for these whitetails during late season. Now, our bow season opens up 2 weeks after our planting date. The plots are not going to be ideal to hunt over at this time, but by the end of September, we should have a really, really good setup to hunt over and have growing food source for all of our deer as we get into the winter months. So again, just to go over what we're planning in each one on the ridge plot, again, the ridge plot, south plot, smaller plots. The ridge plot is going to get a primary brassica planting with cereal grains mixed in over top of it. That's going to get us a great early season food source from the cereal grains. That's going to help with some tonnage as we get into the later season, with the brassicas being the primary driving force behind that late season forage and the primary planted seed in this plot on the ridge plot. For the south plot, we're going primarily cereal grains, bow style plot with some turnips mixed in to give us that little extra jolt as we do get into the late season. But we're kind of playing it around the south plot being our starter for the early season, saving the ridge plot until the later season, and allowing those two to kind of cycle through during their prime times for when they're hunted, when they're going to have the most forage. On the second property, at the top plot and the bottom plot, we're going to be doing sort of a similar situation. The top plot is going to be a primarial cereal grain plot. I'm talking winter wheat, cereal rye, forage, peas, and then turnip mixed in with it. The bottom plot is going to be a primarily black brassica blend with a very light seeding of cereal grains and clover going in over top of it. So we're playing the bottom plot as being our late season spot. Primarily brassicas. We're talking hunting after the frost in November and December, and the top plot is going to serve as our early season plot. We're doing this not only to kind of spread around and give the deer some diversity in what they're eating, but also because of how the deer have tended to behave on these properties. The bottom plot is typically a late season spot. We don't get a lot of early buck movement in that area, but as you get into the rut, we see a lot of traveling, a lot of cruising coming around the bottom. Whereas at the top, surrounded by bedding areas, we get great rut movement up there, but it is a honey hole during the early season. So we're expecting with these two new plots on this property going in, and the two brand new plots on the other property going in, that we're going to be able to funnel this deer movement in a way that we want so that we can best manage our properties for hunting. I hope you all have enjoyed the information here today. This was just kind of a short, informative time, so I could talk a little bit about what we did with our plots, how they're going to be managed, how they're going to be hunted for the season. And as we get into the season here in a couple of weeks, we'll keep you updated on what those plots are looking like, how they're doing, and if there are any changes made. But this is just kind of a lesson to everybody that you do not need tons of heavy equipment in order to put in food plots. It takes a lot more work, it takes a lot more time, and it takes a little bit more thought in some circumstances around getting these plots in, but they can definitely be done. I've actually posted on our Next Gen Whitetails Instagram page. You can go in and see all four of these plots. We have some before and after images, and we also have some videos of what they're looking like right now after disking in the past couple of weeks. But go check those out if you're interested in seeing what these plots are looking like. And then, like I said, as we get into the next couple of weeks closer to the season, I'll be posting more pictures and keeping you guys informed on what the plots are doing, what they're looking like, and how we plan on hunting them. So if you enjoyed the podcast today, stick with us over the next couple of weeks and you can keep updated on these food plots. But next week, we're going to have another very special guest joining us. And it's kind of a surprise. I'm not going to let you guys know who he is now, but check out our Instagram page in the next couple of days. We will be releasing the name of our guest that's coming on next week. We're going to have a really good time talking with him, sharing some stories, and hopefully learning a thing or two as well. So thank you guys for being with us here today. I love talking food plots. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to it. If you have any questions, feel free to message us on Instagram or comment on any of our posts. We'd love to talk to you about your food plot plans, what you have going on, and if you have any questions about what we did or what we talked about today, shoot us a message. So thank you guys for listening today. Stick with us for our little conclusion. All right, everybody, once again, thank you so much for being here today. I hope you enjoyed listening to me talk a little bit about the food plot plans that I have coming up for this year. And stick with us for next week's episode coming out on August 2nd, where we're going to have a very special guest to share some cool stories and have a good time on next week's episode. Once again, please give us a follow and a like on whatever podcast platform you are listening on, and be sure to check us out on Instagram as well at NXTGEN Whitetails on Instagram. That's NXTGEN Whitetails. New episode will be dropping next Wednesday, and as we get closer to the season, like I've said, we're gonna have some very special episodes coming out every week focusing on the whitetail season at hand. So thank you guys for being with us, and thank you for being a part of the Next Gen.